Jeremiah came to the men's fellowship, and after about 10 minutes, he looked at me and said, "Papa, I'm bored. Is this all y'all are going to talk about?" I said, "What are you talking about? We're talking about sports and manly things." He goes, "I know. We need to talk about something else." I said, "Go." Tony said, "Go, big boy. What do you want to talk about?" He goes, "I don't know. Dinosaurs or something? I don't know." So I said, "Go, talk about dinosaurs." He goes, "No, I'm not going to do that." So Caleb said today that he went home saying he had a great time. So I was shocked. Anyways, praise God. Well, we're so glad to be with you tonight. We got some good things in store for you. Things we're going to continue on in a series that you and I have been in. Pastor Mark has been in a series, but you and I have been in a series talking about being selected and protected. And in recent days, I think this is part 8 if I remember right, but in recent days we've been talking specifically about how to keep yourself protected, or another way of saying how to keep the door shut on the devil. Well, how many of you know that's a good thing to know?
Yes.
Amen. And so we've been talking about a few of those things, and so another way you could say it is these are proven methods that will ensure total victory in any circumstance at any given time, 100% guaranteed. You know, the Word works for you if you work it, if you do what the Word says. And we, you know, I said methods, really this is just taken straight from the Word. And so if you do these things, you'll keep the door shut on the devil. And just as a way of review, we said number one, make the Lord your habitation. Make the Lord your dwelling place. And of course, there's tons of scriptures that talk about making the Lord your habitation or dwelling place. It's another way of saying, stay close. Stay close. How many of you, when you were kids, your mom and dad said, "You better stay close. You better stay where you can hear me." Amen. Because if you don't stay close, when he calls and you're not in a position to hear, then there's a problem. Amen. So you got to stay close. Number two, we said, you have to fear God. Now, the word fear God there is not a term like you and I would relate to fear. You know, we just got done with Halloween, and it's not that type of fear. Fear in this particular instance is used to talk about having a reverence towards something, having a respect towards something. You know, 1 Samuel 2:30 said, "Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Now, that word despise means to treat as unimportant. And so when we fear God, it means that we have a reverential fear towards the things of God. Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that has it," that is the fear of the Lord, the reverence, the respect for the Lord, "he that has it shall abide satisfied." Now watch this, "he shall not be visited with evil." Well, that's keeping the door shut on the devil, isn't it? Amen. And so you have to have a fear of the Lord, a fear of God, or a respect and reverence for the things of God. Number three, we said stay out of fear. See, another type of fear, stay out of fear. You remember we referred to Job. You know, Job opened the door, and actually the Bible says in Job 3:25, it said, "The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Anybody been there? Well, you know, we're not going to go back and talk about it, but in the very first chapter of Job, the Bible tells us that Job made sacrifices for his kids just in case they had done something wrong. Come on now. If you've got kids, you know what I'm talking about. You sit there and you wonder, what are they getting into? Huh? Well, Job made sacrifices daily out of fear. See, he said, "The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me." So he made daily sacrifices. He made a decision to be in fear. And so we talked about a little bit of those things. Number four, we talked about walking in love. One of the most important things we could talk about. Walking in love. Keeping yourself by walking in love. You remember in Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And so whenever you start walking out of love, actually, you know, we've heard it said before, a step out of love is a step into sin. And so you've got to be careful about that. You've got to make sure that you're not allowing yourself to get out of love. Amen. And then I think the last time we were together, we started getting into what we're going to finish up tonight, and that is making the Word of God your top priority. I said making the Word of God your top priority is another way of saying that you need to be a person of the Word. Amen. Turn over to Proverbs 19:23. Again, we'll just lay eyes on this. This is one of our key scriptures, and we just referred to this scripture, but Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord tends to life." Life as God lives it. "The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that has it," that is the fear of the Lord, that is life as God lives it, "shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." And then our other passage that we refer a lot to is 1 John 5:18. "He that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not." Somebody say, "He can't touch me." Now don't get scared about that. You know, a lot of people say, "Well, I wouldn't say that." You know, and then they, "You better knock on wood." Well, we're saying it for the devil's benefit. I said, we're bold enough tonight. We're just going to say it for the devil's benefit. We're just going to declare for ourselves that I'm begotten of God and I'm keeping myself. See, really, that's what we're talking about. All these five things so far, what we're talking about is how to keep ourselves so that we don't give access to the devil. And so the Bible says, when you keep yourself, the wicked one touches us not. And so another way of saying that we're keeping ourselves is being a person of the Word. And so that's where we're going to pick up tonight. We talked a little bit about this last time we were together, but we're going to move on a little bit. How many of you know we all face tests and trials? Anybody faced one today? Something that challenged you, something that ruffled your feathers, somebody that stole your joy or your peace, whatever that was. You know, they come to us all, but if you are a Word-oriented person, the very first thing that you ought to consider is, what does the Word say? You always ought to be considering, and you always ought to make the Word of God your source of information. You know, we tend to have a lot of places we go. You know, we have devices right here that opens up a world of resources to us. You know, we can Google everything. Or maybe you don't use Google, you use some other search engine. But, you know, that tends to be the first place we go if we're going to look for something, is we Google search it. Well, we make that, or we go to social media. We go to Facebook, Instagram. You know, what is, if you were watching the polls and the voting things last night, what was your source of information? Well, you had to go somewhere. You had to listen to somebody. You know, maybe you listened to NBC or CNN or Fox, or Sheila had on the Victory Network for a while. You know, we go to all different places to get our information. But how many of you know each one of those places, last night if you turned on a different channel, it was going to tell you a different thing. And it didn't matter because ultimately it comes down to numbers. Numbers don't lie, but they give you their spin. They give you their opinion on things. Well, whenever you go to the Word of God, this isn't His opinion. I said, this isn't His opinion. This is the Word. This is the truth. This is something that has stood the test of time. And so the Word of God ought to be your final authority. Actually, it ought to be your only authority. You know, I heard Keith Moore say recently, he said this. He said, if you don't enjoy reading your Bible, you're not doing it right. If you don't enjoy praying, going to church, you're not doing it right. When you do it right with God, there's life in it. Oh, get a hold of that. I like that. There's life in it. There's a quickening in it. It is ever increasing, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. God never peaks. God never peaks. Oh, think about that. There's still things. You know, I tend to attempt to read through the Bible every single year, and that's my goal in Bible study. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. I don't put that pressure on myself, because I want to make sure that if I slow down a little bit, that I'm getting what I'm reading. And so I'm not pressured to, well, I got to read 10 chapters a day or something like that. But ultimately, what I end up doing is reading through the New Testament a couple times, and then I attempt to read through the New Testament a couple times and attempt to read through the Old Testament. But even though I've done that multiple times, I always see something different. You know, every time you get into the Bible, anytime you open up that Bible, you ought to be praying, Lord, show me something I've never seen before. Help me get a revelation of something I've never seen before. Right? Are you with me? Psalm 119:24 says, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. So notice, the Word ought to be your counselor. The Word ought to be the very thing that you go to. You know, my kids know that if they're going to come to us and talk to us about something, they're going to get a little bit of our opinion, but they're mostly going to get the Word. What does the Word say? I had a buddy of mine, a pastor friend of mine, that had called me recently and was talking to me about something, and the first thing I did is it just reminded me of some scriptures, and so I started reading scriptures. And he said, man, I appreciate you. And I said, well, I appreciate you, but what do you appreciate me for? And he said, because whenever I call you, you give me the Word. He said, all my other pastor friends want to give me their opinion and what they think I ought to do, and they tell me what I need to do. He said, you always give me the Word. Amen. And he said, ultimately, I always go back to what you say, because he said, the Word is what makes the difference. Amen. Well, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Lord. Huh? Amen. This thing makes a difference. Whenever you take it and you apply it in your life. Your Word, Psalm 119, your Word, your testimonies are my delight and my counselor. I love Psalm 119. You know, it's a big book, lots of scriptures. It's divided up into 22 sections of 8 passages each. You know, many scholars say, because there's 22, let me give you, this is a Bible study, isn't it? It's broken down into, 22 stanzas equivalent to the 22 letters in the Hebrew language. Many people believe, because we don't actually know who wrote Psalm 119. We don't know that. But many scholars believe that David wrote Psalm 119 as a way to teach Solomon the Hebrew alphabet, because there was 22 stanzas in Psalm 119. It's an interesting thing to know. But in those stanzas, within those 8 verses in each one of those 22 stanzas, it's interesting that you will notice that nearly every verse mentions the Word of God. Whether it's talking about the Word, whether it's talking about my ways, my statutes, my decrees, my laws, my precepts, my commands, my commandments, my promises, almost every single one of those scriptures in Psalm 119 mention the Word of God. They focus on the truth of the Word of God. Well, there's a reason for that. It's an important thing, amen? Look over at John chapter 17. This is Jesus praying for believers. And of course, John 17 is towards the end of the book, so we know this is just prior to the time that he hangs on the cross. In John 17, verse 15, it says, I pray not, so he's praying to the Lord, praying for believers, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. See, that's what this whole thing that we've been talking about is, how to keep yourself, how to keep the door shut on the devil. And so Jesus, praying to God, says, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from evil. Listen, we come across things all the time where it'd be just as easy to say, Lord, take me home. Just take me now. Just get me out of this place. I'm going to go to heaven. I just did a funeral for Bob Brown. Man, I love doing funerals, because I don't like the fact that somebody passes away, but I love giving people a revelation that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to miss. And it's such a beautiful thing when you put those scriptures together and you're able to show that to me. Bob lived a long, healthy life until the very end, and he was still fighting when he left. Praise God. But as you consider these things and you think about, it would be just so easy to just go on and go be with the Lord. But Jesus prayed to the Father about believers. He said, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but I pray that they would be delivered from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Notice that. Your word is truth. We are living in a day where truth is being challenged all the time. All the time. Society wants Christians to believe a particular way, and they try to tell us some things that are true when they are not. And if we're not careful, we just become easily deceived. You know, as a Christian, we have to determine what we believe. God's word is the measurement that we have to use when deciding what truth is in everything that we hear. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, why do you think it was important for Paul to tell Timothy this? Because it is possible that you can wrongly divide the truth. So he tells them, he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, Paul told Timothy, rightly divide the truth. That word in the Strong's Concordance, Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, defines rightly divide as the straight way. It's talking about the quickest way to get from point A to the truth. From point A to point B, the straight way. So he's talking about the quickest way to get from point A to the truth. How quickly can you get to the truth? It's when we knock everything else out of the way that has nothing to do with the truth, and you go straight to the truth of God's word. That's what it means, the straight way. The way we rightly divide everything we see or hear is to line up the truth of God's word. His word is what determines what is truth and what is not. So you have to ask yourself the question, is what I'm hearing, is what I'm seeing, is what I'm reading, is it lining up with Scripture? So you need to use the Word as what we would call a plumb line. When you do so, then you know how to speak and how to act in every situation, and you'll never be misled. Now, what do you mean by a plumb line? Well, I've got a... Sheila, hand me this plumb thing here, this level. I've been working on a workshop. At my house, because Sheila said, "You need a project and you need to get out of here." So, no, I'm just kidding. Every man needs a shed. Not a she shed, a man shed. A workshop. And this isn't an 8x8 building, this is 16x16. It's going to be big enough for me to put a few things in. And so I've been building this thing, I've been having a good time, I got all my tools out. So, you know it's a good day, guys, when you can get all your tools out. So I've been having fun building this thing. Well, I started building this thing, and it all started with this level right here. The very first thing that I did was I took this level, and I set this level on the ground, and I decided, all right, where's this thing going to be? Where's the high point? Where's the low point? Well, you know, this is called a level. This is called a plumb. Whenever you start talking about a level or a plumb line, what you're talking about is when you call something plumb, what you're doing is you're stressing the exact verticality determined by the Earth's gravity. So if you've never looked at a plumb level, there's a little bubble in here. And so using this level, you can determine whether something is completely horizontal according to the Earth's gravity, or you can turn it sideways and you can determine whether something is vertical according to the Earth's gravity. And so if you go by this bubble between these lines, then your building is going to be perfectly, what they call perfectly square. But if you don't, that thing's going to fall over. And so as best as I possibly can, every part of that building at the moment is just about square and plumb. Just about. I'm not a professional, but I am a perfectionist. There is a difference. Well, if a wall is not exactly plumb, then what happens is some of the weight becomes off-center, and if it becomes off-center and then it starts to lean, then it adds additional it adds additional stress. Forgive me for just a moment. Well, I've got a bottle. Well, if something is a few degrees out of plumb, how many of you know the entire building can come down? It's kind of like Jenga. Has anybody ever played Jenga before? Well, you pull these little things out, and you know, the whole goal is you want to take a block from the bottom and put it on top. Well, if your Jenga tower ever starts leaning, you might as well forget it, because the whole thing's going to come down. And so when we say that the Word of God ought to be your plumb line, it ought to be your level, what we're saying is, you know, it's amazing how things seem to work out whenever you act like the Bible's true. It's interesting, another term for plumb is true. Do you know that? If you're around a bunch of carpenters, they'll say, that wall's true, or that wall's not true. Well, there's truth to that. Because if you ever find yourself off, if you ever find yourself leaning off the Word of God, you're getting ready to have a fall. So you've always got to consider, is what I'm talking about, is what I'm doing, is it all lining up with the Word? Because if it's not, you're getting ready to have a problem. And so, is what I'm experiencing lining up with the Word? See, we're also talking about the words of your mouth. How many of you know it's important to line up what you say with the Word of God? Sure it is. Look over at Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. Your confession determines a lot. Psalm 103, verse 20. You know, God loved you so much that He created angels with a special assignment. And that special assignment is to look after you by listening for His Word in your mouth. That's what it says right here. Psalm 103, 20 says, bless the Lord, you His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His Word. Notice that. Bless the Lord, you His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His Word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all the places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. His angels are listening, but what are they listening for? His Word in your mouth. Because they can't do anything for you if all you're doing is griping and complaining and speaking something that isn't in line with the Word of God. However, what does it say? They're hearkening, they're listening to the voice of His Word. People are listening. Angels are listening. Facebook is listening. Did you know that? We went car shopping. Matthew decided that he wanted to be interested in looking at another car. And so we went to the dealership, you know, going around to the different dealerships in town, and so I just happened to have my phone in my back pocket. I wasn't looking at anything, wasn't searching for anything, I wasn't even on my phone, except to get on there and to look for the Texas score or the ball game or whatever while we were out and about. And so I have my phone in my pocket, and he's talking to salesmen, and we're looking at cars, and we're talking about cars, and we're getting in, and we're looking at all the options, and we're going to all the dealerships. Well, I get home, and I haven't had this on my phone, but I get home, and I happen to pull up Facebook, and I start getting ready for the service, you know, to post stuff about, you know, the Sunday morning service, and I pull up my feed, and all it is car sales, and it's dealerships, and it's this car and that car. My phone is listening. Your phone is listening right now. Maybe it's getting an education. Well, people are listening to what you're saying. And so it's important what's in your mouth. Hebrews 1:14, talking about angels, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Listen, whenever you put His Word in your mouth, you're setting yourself up for them to operate on your behalf. Right? We won't take the time to read through this whole story, but you remember in Daniel chapter 10, this is talking about Daniel. Look at verse 9. Actually, we'll just read this. It's not very long. Daniel 10, verse 9, it says, "Yet heard I the voice of the words, when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face towards the ground, and behold, a hand touched me, which was set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, O man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto you am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling, and he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first..." Now watch this, I love this. This is an angel appearing before Daniel. He said, "For from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and chasten yourself before God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words." Did you get that? The angel says, from the very day, from the very first day you set your heart to understand and speak the word, he said, "I've been coming from the moment you spoke the word." Listen, what you say is important. What you say, what you choose not to say is important. Come on now. What you give voice to. See, we need to stop discussing our problems. Sometimes we get caught up in talking more about the problem and glorifying the devil than we do about the Lord and the victory that he's given us and what he's able to do. Quit discussing the problem and start talking about the solution, the word. See, the more you talk about the problems, the bigger they seem to get. And I'll say this, you always get in life what you believe and say. You know, we've said this so many times over the years. If you don't believe what you're saying, how many of you know you shouldn't say it? You ever heard somebody say, "Well, I didn't mean that"? Well, don't say it then. "Well, you know, it's getting cold outside, so I'm just going to take the flu. Or I'm just going to take a cold." Well, why would you do that? Well, some people say things out of habit or tradition or things they heard their parents say, their grandparents say, or, you know. "Well, we just had an election, you know. It didn't go our way, so this is going to happen." Well, if you don't believe, then they come back and say, "Well, I don't really mean that." Well, don't say it in the first place. Because all you're doing, listen, we're talking about keeping the door shut on the devil, aren't we? Well, you give him access in your life whenever you give voice to these things that you don't really believe. So if you don't believe what you're saying, you shouldn't say it, because if you say it long enough, those words eventually will register on your spirit and control your life. Come on now, that's the important thing. Remember, we're talking about keeping the door shut. Proverbs 13:3 says, "Whosoever guards his mouth preserves his life, and he who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Sometimes it's just more important to keep your mouth shut. Right? How many of your parents ever told you that? If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. Well, spiritually, the same applies. Familiar passage, Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit of it." Proverbs 29:20 says, "Do you see a man who is hasty?" It's another way of saying rash as opposed to being deliberate. "See a man that is hasty in his words, there's more hope for a fool than of him." Brother Hagin said this, "If our confessing is wrong, it's because our believing is wrong." See, that's why we're talking about the importance of the word. What does the word say? If your confessing is wrong, it's because your believing is wrong. And if your believing is wrong, it's because our thinking is wrong. And if our thinking is wrong, it's because our mind has not yet been renewed with the word. Can you give me a minute? I come across this story and I think it's so good. It'll take just a second to read this. But it's Brother Hagin talking about the time that he got up off the deathbed and they were moving him. They were moving houses. Anyways, he explains this. Just bear with me for just a minute. He says, "Many things happen because we think they ought to happen. Recently I read about a scientist who says that after you reach a certain age..." Now listen, this might apply to some of you. "Recently I read about a scientist who says that after you reach a certain age, it becomes more difficult for your brain to remember things. When I got past 40, I found out that I could not remember scriptures as well as I once did. After a while, I said to myself, there's no need for this. After all, the brain is simply a physical organ that the mind operates through. The mind is part of my inward being, and the mind never grows old. The rich man said in hell that he still had his mind and his memory intact, because Abraham said in Luke 16:25, "Son, remember." He goes on to say, "The moment I started believing, thinking, and talking right, I could quote all the scriptures I ever quoted. I could remember everything just as easily as ever, and my memory actually got better instead of worse." If you were ever in any Brother Hagin's meetings, you know that. I mean, he was as sharp as a tack. He says, well, we fail many times when we get ready to fail, when we prepare to fail. We think it, believe it, and do it, but we as believers should never talk failure, doubt, or unbelief. We should talk faith. So he says, if you're defeated, you're defeated with your own lips. He said, I appreciate and thank God for all the good material in print today on this subject, but years ago I got the secret from the text quoted earlier when Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Now listen, he tells this story. He says, in 1933, I was just a boy of 16, lying on a bed of sickness. 4 months before I turned 16, I'd become totally bedfast. He said, 5 doctors, including one who had practiced at the famous Mayo Clinic, were on my case. I lived with my grandparents, and although my grandfather had quite a lot of property, forgive me. He says, although my grandfather had quite a lot of property, he was not rich, for it was during the Great Depression. Nevertheless, if the Mayo Clinic could have helped me, he would have been willing to send me there. So my doctors advised the family to listen to the doctors who had practiced at the Mayo Clinic, for he was considered one of the best in America, and he knew as much as the doctors at the Mayo Clinic. He and the other attending physicians said there was no hope for me. In fact, he said that I didn't have a chance in a million to live. He added that as far as medical science knew, no one in my heart condition had ever lived past the age of 16. I'd never had a normal childhood, I'd never run and played like other children, and I had been in a semi-invalid all my life. The town I lived in McKinney, Texas, 32 miles north of Dallas, was the county seat of Collin County, and at that time it had a population of 8,700 people. Grandpa owned several houses there and decided to move out of one into the other. He had it painted and redecorated on New Year's Day of 1934, and we moved. Now listen, this is what I want you to see. The movers moved furniture from one house to the other, one part of one house to the other, leaving furniture in my bedroom until the very last. Then, as they came to load it, an ambulance was called to move me. Mr. Harris in the Harris Funeral Home and his driver, Mr. McDonald, lifted me off the bed onto the stretcher and carried me out and put me in an ambulance. As we drove off, Mr. Harris turned to me and said, "Son, they tell me you're going to be bedfast for a year, that you've been bedfast for a year." "No," I said, "not quite a year, but about 9 months." He said, "Well, if you feel up to it, we could ride very slowly through the residential area of town since you haven't seen it in such a long time. And although I was particularly paralyzed, I could move my head and look around." After being bedfast for nearly a year and staring at the four walls and ceiling, I thought the town looked pretty good, even though I was looking at it out of an ambulance window. Mr. Harris said, "Son, if you'd like, we could also drive around the town square. It's New Year's Day and most of the businesses are closed, so there was very little traffic." I said, "I'd appreciate that." I shall never forget it as long as I live, now and even through eternity. As I looked at that old courthouse, the devil said to me, listen, what are we talking about? Keeping the door shut on the devil. He says, the devil said to me, "You never did think you'd ever see that building in flesh again, and you wouldn't have if it hadn't been for the kindness of Mr. Harris." I knew that was the devil. Some people can't tell whether it's the devil or God talking to them, but let me tell you how I can tell the difference. Everything that is of doubt, unbelief, and discouragement is of the devil. God never talks about doubt, failure, unbelief, discouragement to anybody. This Baptist boy had been reading his grandma's Methodist Bible, and I remembered a verse in Scripture, and something on the inside of me spoke up and brought that Scripture to my remembrance. "He shall have whatsoever he says." Believe in your heart, say it with your mouth. That is the principle of faith. You can have what you say. I sat in that ambulance that day as tears coursed down my face. I didn't understand all I know now, but just as a little gleam of light that might creep through a crack under a door, but I knew it was there, so I said it. I said, yes, I will see these buildings, I will see this courthouse, and I will come and stand on this courthouse square because Jesus said, whatever you believe in your heart and say with your mouth will come to pass. I believe it in my heart and I say it with my mouth. About 2 o'clock in the afternoon, that first day of January 34 was a starting point with me. Once you've committed yourself and you're located, I refuse to go back to my confession on my confession of faith. January went by, I was still bedfast. February, still bedfast. March, April, May, June, July, 7 months, and I was still bedfast. The devil kept telling me, it's not working, it's not working. So I told him, I'm not going to believe you, you old doubter. I held fast to my confession and I refused to give up. And I said, that scripture is what Jesus said when he was here on the earth. I kept telling Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the angels, the devil, the evil spirits, I'm going to hold fast to it. I told God, if it doesn't work, it'll be because your word has failed under me. I'm standing on it. Jesus and I will go down together because I'm not going to turn him loose. Well, that's the attitude that you ought to take. You're not going to turn loose of the word of God. On the second Saturday of August 34, I walked to that courthouse square. Back there in North Central Texas in those depression days of 1934, everybody, particularly all the country folk, always came to town on Saturday. There were so many people there that I had to elbow my way through the crowd to get to the curb, but I stood on that curb on the southeast corner where the grocery store was, and tears rolled down my face. I lifted my hand. I didn't care what people thought. That's one thing I've never been bothered with. And I said, devil, I told you so. I said, devil, I don't know whether you can read or not, but in case you can't, I pulled out my New Testament out of my shirt pocket. I opened it up to Mark 11, 23 and 24, and I read it to him. And I said, I told you it'd work all those months. You told me it wasn't working and it wouldn't work and wasn't going to work. And I told you it was the word and here it is. I don't know what people thought seeing a 17-year-old boy standing on that street corner with a testament in his hand, tears rolling down his face, talking to somebody, but I didn't care. I'd begun to hold fast to that scripture on my bed of sickness and I've been holding fast to it ever since. It's important what you say. It's important what you believe. It's important what you grab a hold of. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, my son, hear the instructions of your father. Hear what I say. You know, when you go through and you read these particular passages, you kind of get the picture of David talking to Solomon, explaining things to him. And you know, actually, if you go and you look at Proverbs chapter 2 through, I think it's chapter 7 or chapter 8, a lot of those particular passages start with, my son, you know, my children. This is a father instructing his children. Listen to what I'm telling you. How many times have we ever looked at our kids and said, would you please listen closely to what I'm telling you? Why? Because we know a thing or two, because we've seen a thing or two, and we can help you out. So here in Scripture, the writer of the passage is saying, hear, my son, hear the instructions of a father. Hear what I'm saying. In other words, listen closely. In other words, don't take a casual approach to the Word. Give it your undivided attention. Because when you do, you know, look at me when I'm talking to you. You ever done that? Look at me when I'm talking to you. Are you listening to me? Listen, you ought to seize every moment and opportunity to apply the Word of God in your life. In other words, to exercise that Word. Exercise is not a bad word, believe it or not. Exercise the Word. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, exercise yourself to godliness. Bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Exercise. Exercise the Word of God. In other words, to use it for improvement. It means, exercise means to discipline. It means to cause to perform certain acts as a preparation to service. Exercise is preparing you for something. So when you exercise the Word of God, Whenever you become a person of the Word and you exercise the Word and you prepare your heart with the Word, what are you doing? You're preparing yourself for something. What is that something? It's life. The Bible says this Word gives life. It's preparing you for life. Why? Because it's going to smack you right between the eyes tomorrow morning when you get up. And then what are you going to be faced with? What am I going to do? How am I going to respond? What's going to be in my mouth? The Word of God has the power to bring you from disaster to victory. From total disaster to victory. So we ought to expect the same results that the early church experienced. Supernatural manifestations of the power of God. Listen, God doesn't change. His Word doesn't change. If you will commit to believe right, to talk right, then you will experience the reality of the Word of God. I like so much in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer compares two groups of people. And in Hebrews chapter 4, he says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it." You know, there's, 40, 50 people here tonight, whatever this is. And every single one of you are hearing the exact same message. And I guarantee you, every single one of you are taking something away different. Whether that's because you're experiencing something, so you're hearing particular things that are getting your attention. Whether you're falling asleep. Whether you're taking notes. Whether you're looking at your phone. Whatever the case may be, each and every one of you is experiencing what's being said in a different way. But you have a responsibility to the Word that you take the Word of God. And remember, the Bible said the Word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. When you hear the Word of God, you have to believe it. You have to act. Faith acts. You have to act on it. For we which believe, now here's the key. For we which have believed, it goes on to say, Hebrews 4:3. For we which have believed, everybody point to yourself and say, that's me. Do enter into rest. For we which do believe, enter into rest. Faith rests. Faith rests. So you want to quiet your mind if you're going through a challenge? Get into the Word. You want to quiet your mind whenever something comes up and you don't have an answer? Get into the Word. Because faith rests. Everybody stand to your feet. Glory to God. Faith in God is simply faith in His Word. Find out what God's Word says and then choose to agree with it. You know, there's a lot of people that you know, you can't expect the Word to work for you if you take sides against it. So what are you talking about? There's people that do that all day long, every day. They take sides against the Word. Don't take sides against the Word. How do you do that? Well, that tithing thing, I just believe I'll try it. Or that healing thing, it never works for me, but if you say so, I'll try it. Well, you're taking sides against the Word. You've got to determine for yourself that you're going to line up with what the Word says and you're going to do what the Word says, just like Brother Hagin said, he was going to stay with it regardless. But I'll tell you this, he's never failed me. And I guarantee you he's never failed you. Come on now. What are you going to choose to believe? You want to keep the door shut on the devil? You become a person of the Word. Amen. See, we're talking about keeping the devil out of the middle of your affairs. Talking about keeping the door shut on the devil. How do you do that? You become a person of the Word. You become a stickler for the Word. I'm a stickler for the Word. Anytime you hear me speak, you're going to hear me give you scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. Why? Because it's not my opinion that's going to do a thing for you. I have a lot of opinions. Ask Sheila. She'll tell you. And most of them are right. She's shaking. Maybe. But the one thing that can help you is the Word. Guaranteed. So anytime you hear something that you go, I don't know about that. You say, is that in the Bible? Is that Scripture? Can you show me Scripture for that? Listen, when I got into this, I couldn't find a Scripture in the Bible to save my life. I had to have the tabs. You know what I'm talking about? I had to have the tabs to find passages in the Bible. I couldn't have told you where they were. Oh, but thank God, this is my lifeline. This is my lifeline. If I ever have a problem, ever have questions, this is the first place I go. Then my wife. So between Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and my wife, we figure it out. Amen. Isn't he so good? I tell you, you just can't miss it if you stick with the word. Glory to God. Father, we thank you so much for your word as always. As always, we're thankful for the word of God. It's life-giving, life-changing for all who choose to believe it and act on it and do what it says. Tonight, we endeavor to take the word that you've given us and apply it in our life. We endeavor to keep the door shut on the devil, and we know that one way to do so is to become a person of the word. We make the word of God a priority in our life, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. I believe Pastor Mark and Ms. Margaret are going to be back with us this Sunday. And so keep them in your prayers. They're going to be coming back following the hurricane. They're going to try to stay behind it on their way back. And so be praying for them as they travel back. Amen. Prayer will start shortly, so if you can stay and pray, feel free to do so. Amen.